Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Fellow Jedi, and welcome to Aggressive Negotiations, a Star Wars podcast here on the Nerd Party Network. I am one of your hosts, Jedi Master John Mills, and with me as always is my dear friend, Jedi Master Matthew Rushing. Matt, how you doing today?
Doing great, John. Doing great. I'm just excited to be here with you so we can talk more Star Wars.
Yeah, you know, we can't seem to get quite enough of it, and we thank everybody who continues to listen to the show and the great reviews that we've gotten. We really, really do appreciate it. We're having a great time, and we know that you're having a great time too. So long as you're here on the Nerd Party Network, of course, give a listen to some of our other shows, Filibuster, Nerd Nuptial, and we think you'll like what you hear. But while you're here on Aggressive Negotiations, we're known for sometimes looking at things from a larger perspective of the Force. And one of the things we were thinking about and discussing is here we are in October, what some people might call Shocktober.
Shocking.
Yeah. And Star Wars, of course, infamously had one try at a holiday special that did not go particularly well.
No.
And it's pretty bad. But imagine a world where that holiday special didn't go wrong, where it was 180 degrees different. It went better. It went the way you wanted it to go, and it was a success.
It got better.
Right. And you wind up in a situation where, okay, what do they do? Well, in the 80s, at least, Halloween specials were really, you know, really, really popular. I think they still are now, but, you know, at the time of the original trilogy, they looked for any, you know, they had Mark Hamill on The Muppet Show. And they had, you know, R2-D2 and C-3PO on Sesame Street. Anywhere they could get a Star Wars character, people wanted that Star Wars character to show up. So I want to put to you, Matthew, a Star Wars Halloween special. Okay? What opportunities do we have here? What ideas would you bring to the table? It's been greenlit. We're sitting down. It's a smoky room at CBS Studios, or, you know, whoever Fox has made the deal with, to go ahead and make a Star Wars Halloween special. Or even now, they suddenly decide that, with everything that's coming up with Disney, it's going to be a workable idea. What are you putting in it? What are some of the ideas that you're bringing to the table in this first brainstorming session for a Star Wars Halloween special?
So my thought process was this, John, because I think about this a lot. Okay, how do we frame this? Like, how in the world can you do Star Wars Halloween special? And I thought, what if, so we've got a liberated galaxy, and you've got Leia and Han, and they've got little Ben, and they're gonna go trick-or-treating at night, and every stop that Ben goes to, he hears another tale. And so each one of the tales that you see, you probably get three. Each tale is, you know, a basically haunted tale from Star Wars lore. And it could be any part of Star Wars, you know, from prequels to the sequel trilogy. And they're just whatever, you know, that person at the house came up with. That was my idea, to kind of have a framing device for why you'd be getting these kind of haunted Star Wars tales, to make it a little bit more believable than just like trying to find some sort of really bad life day event.
Right. Instead of trying to like work Halloween in as a holiday that they would have celebrated under a different name in the Star Wars galaxy, you're going for I guess in a sense they are with this framing device, but instead of trying to tell a tale of Halloween, you know, the meaning of Halloween in Star Wars, which is, you know, essentially what they do with Life Day. You say, okay, you know what? Fine. They're going to go out trick-or-treating. Halloween is a thing that exists, and we're going to get three spooky stories. How spooky are you going with spooky? Are you going with primetime kids level spooky, 8 to 8:30 p.m. Or I'd say this is probably be an hour, 8 to 9 p.m. on Disney XD, you're going to have this special. Or is this something where you're going to license it out to Netflix or something like that and have a 10 p.m. where the first story is okay and the second story is okay, but then the third story is like, you know, boom, big time. Like, what demographic are you going with here?
Yeah, mine kind of ranged from like kind of scary to could be like super scary. So it was kind of all over the place. So yeah, I would say maybe that it starts off, you know, that kind of gives me chills to, oh wow, that I don't know if I could sleep at night kind of thing. So
that's cool. And the thing is, I really like your framing device. I like the idea of little Ben going out trick-or-treating, because it seems to me that he probably would have been a kid that would have embraced the darker side of things from the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, he seems to be that sort. For me, I remain stuck in the time period, you know, where I have the strongest childhood memories, the 80s. And the framing device I had in my mind isn't too different from yours, because I had, again, a storyteller sort of thing. But in this one, in case you couldn't get, you know, Hamill and Fisher or Harrison Ford and Peter Mayhew or, you know, some of the major cast members, but you still wanted to put it in Star Wars, my idea was that there would be some ship. It's Star Wars Galaxy, for whatever reason. Have them get shot by a TIE fighter or something. And in the beginning of it, they crash land on a planet and they, you know, they build a campfire. And so they start telling campfire stories. But then at the end, you suddenly find out that they're on a planet that is imbued with the dark side. And the final story ends with Darth Vader showing up to take care of them, the final scare before the credits. And so that, you know, I'd say mine is probably like a 10 p.m. time slot with the way that it ends, because if Vader's showing up at the end of a Halloween, you know, episode, it's not going to go well for anybody. You know, so I mean, that's just sort of how I skew. So we have sort of similar sort of framing conventions. What about the stories themselves? Like, what story is your big sell? What story is the tiny scare for you?
Well, before I go there, you actually inspired me to think of a third storytelling device, which could be, again, thinking about, okay, you can't get the other big actors or anything like that. What if it's just R2 and 3PO that are handing out candy? And like 3PO ends up telling scary stories interrupted by R2-D2 to add in the even scarier parts. So you could also do that, because that, yeah, you know, 3PO can do sound effects and all that kind of stuff.
You know, what's really interesting is with these framing devices that we've had, there are, like, you know, you say that and I go, oh, well, wait a minute. What about kids at younglings at the Jedi Temple telling each other stories when they're, you know, they've gotten into a part of the temple that they're not supposed to go or something, like, or they, you know, they go into the Sith archives section of the Jedi library or something. But what's really cool is I think we're highlighting that there really is an opportunity here for such a show to be done even annually, because if you take this framing device, you have endless permutations. You have the crash-landed ship. You have Ben going out trick-or-treating. You have 3PO and R2 handing out candy. You have the younglings in the temple. And you can actually shift everything through the different time periods, please all of the fan bases. And, you know, you have, I think, a great anthology series opportunity here without the burden of having like an ongoing Twilight Zone type of thing and trying to sustain it. You know, just like an annual. This, I mean, for me, this would be the type of episode I'd look forward to every year. It's almost like the Simpsons Treehouse of Horror.
That's exactly what I was thinking. That's where I got the idea about breaking into the three different stories, and that's why I did it that way. But I was also thinking of, you know, you can kind of, you pull it outside of canon too, so that it's kind of like the Freemaker Adventures, the Lego Freemaker Adventures, where it's like loosely tied enough to, and stays with enough within canon, so you're not like blown, you know, you're just like, oh, that's ridiculous. But at the same time, it plays fast and loose with the rules, and it can have a lot of fun, and that's what this could do. And so, yeah, I really like that idea of the storytelling device and actually kind of doing a Halloween themed episode. So my first story was this, and it was just, you know, we have Force ghosts with the Jedi, but what if there was like a Sith ghost paranormal experience? And you know, it's like the Ghost Hunters kind of episode, and it kind of references those paranormal experience movies, you know, and it's seeing flashes of like a Sith, you know, like a Maul face or Darth Vader doing something, yeah. You know, and then disappearing and all that kind of stuff. And you could totally do one of those, and it's just the Sith ghost episode.
So it's like these Ghost Adventures guys going off, and you know, they're filming all of the different stuff, and they like let's say they start off even as skeptics. They're doing it just as a gag, not a gag, but they're like, okay, you know, we got to make something up. But then something really scary does start happening to them. Yeah. And like you said, like Maul's face appears, and like, what was that? Did you actually see that? And so like, it's almost a journey. It's almost like a Han Solo style journey of like, they themselves don't actually believe any of this stuff. But at the end, they're running screaming out. It's like, it's all real. It's all real. Don't
the
go
Sith,
in there.
The ghosts.
Yeah.
It's true. All of it.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Exactly. Ooh, I like that. Because the thing is, like, I think that there is... You know, I mean, everybody knows that there are just endless stories that you could tell inside, you know, the Star Wars galaxy. So why not have seasonal stuff like this? Like, I don't understand why they wouldn't. They could even do this as you know, straight to DVD releases or straight to Blu-ray or straight to download, whatever you want. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is an opportunity for them. Would you be receptive to this being an animated series, or would you want live action?
That's actually how I think of it, is in an animated format, just because it's easier, I think, to do an animated show.
Okay.
And you know, then it's easier to get whoever's voice that you want, probably, because many actors have recording studios, a lot of them, at their homes, you know, so they can do that kind of thing quickly and easily. And then, you know, if you're just using other voice artists to play those parts, you know, say a David Collins, who does a great Han Solo and has done Han Solo in many of the games, you can pull him in and do that if you need to without it feeling weird, you know? So, because you're obviously not going to get like a Harrison Ford or whatever to do this. You could probably get a Mark Hamill. In fact, maybe he could be a crazed Luke Skywalker who sounds more like the Joker.
You know, I think that it's really, Halloween is such a big thing. I don't know why you wouldn't, you know, cash in on it beyond. I mean, obviously you can't touch certain holidays, you know, as Star Wars, because you can't, you know, choose sides, as it were, you know, like that. You're not allowed to do that anymore. You can't have like a Star Wars Christmas special. I mean, that's what the holiday special was kind of supposed to be, I guess, you know, but didn't work. So, okay. So you got your Ghost Adventures crew going out there, and they have their paranormal experience. For me, I go back to the idea, I love stories that have to do with forbidden objects, and I would love a scary story with a Jabba the Hutt or something like that. Somebody comes in possession of an artifact that is more dangerous than they realize. I mean, you know, I guess the Indiana Jones movies really, you know, warped me as a kid that, you know, whatever object you get, it's eventually a good idea not to touch it. You know, like, so I would think that there would be a neat story, like even in Jabba's palace. I mean, if you do it animated, that's great. If you do it even with just puppets and CG or what have you, I think you have Jabba buys a thing. It goes there. It calls out to somebody. They open it and it's there in Jabba's court. And, you know, crazy stuff ensues. And I think you have a great sort of scary story, especially because Jabba is largely immobile by the time like Return of the Jedi comes around. So you have somebody, you have that added scare of somebody who can't really effectively fight back against what has been loosed, in their palace.
I mean, there's nothing worse than somebody mistakenly thinking that Elephant Man is actually the hottest person in the galaxy, and they get married to them and then realize the next day, oh no! And it was all because this thing went off in Jabba's palace and they thought something that wasn't true. That is truly scary.
The thing is, when you say, I originally thought you were making reference to David Merrick, and I was like, I'm not quite sure where I see the. I was like, oh, that's right. I know the puppet you're talking about.
Yes,
with the big
yes.
elongated snout.
Yes.
I remember. So many different names. So many different names. I wonder, would there be any stories that you would want to explore with something like the Gungans?
Oh. Well, you're jumping right to my scariest story, which I had. My idea
Gungan
was Blue Shadow Gungan. It's a Gungan who was warped by the Blue Shadow virus and turned him into basically like a Freddy Krueger.
Ooh, that would be really cool. I would really like that.
Yeah.
Like you said, that would be working in. Do you think that there are zombie possibilities for Star Wars?
Well, didn't they do that with Death Troopers?
But with Death Troopers. But I'm thinking in terms of a story where you would have, because again, this is another great telltale heart sort of thing. But a Jedi commander, somebody who's on the run, somebody who got away from the clones, but he's chased by their ghosts.
Oh, yeah.
Because of what he had to do to get away from them and sort of exploring. I mean, I guess it would be somebody who is in a situation where they have done these terrible things to get away, but they're, you know, racked by guilt because they were a Jedi and, you know, they've gone nuts. And so, you know, that speaks to what happened to some of the Jedi was it just broke them. And they just went off and became, you know, that. I almost wonder, there could be a fun one, like to pull it back from the more macabre stuff. I think there could be a fun one of Obi-Wan on Tatooine making his house seem like a haunted house to keep people away.
That's why he learns the Krayt Dragon yell.
Which version of the Krayt Dragon yell?
Though? All of them.
That's the big, all of them.
Yeah, he just kept practicing and refining.
Do you think that he ever recorded them and put them at like with pressure sensors around the property? So somebody would be just like walking along one day and all of a sudden they'd hear it go off and they just like run as fast as they could in the other direction.
I would, they think, oh no, I've woken the Krayt Dragon.
Yeah. I think that would be neat. Like somebody comes across Obi-Wan's hovel and he's just in hiding. And there's almost a sense that he indulges sort of a Yoda-like, nature of himself where he decides just to have fun with it. And and that's a shame, I guess, with Yoda living on Dagobah, because I think that Dagobah naturally lends itself. If there are some explorers that show up and they start exploring Dagobah and Yoda's idea is he can't divulge himself, so he decides, okay, well, he's just got to freak them out really bad. And make them leave. I think that would be pretty cool.
See, it's funny because you were talking about this idea of like zombies, and one of my ideas was, you know, on Dathomir, we have the Dathomiri witches and the magic, and we had that big battle that happened with the droids and with the Night Sisters. What if the magic reanimated those droids to make them zombie droids? And they started killing the brothers. So that's your zombie story.
Oh, that is grim. So they wind up marching. And because they're just droids marching, it takes them a really long time to get there. And so so all of the brothers are left fighting. That would be pretty darn cool, I think.
Yeah.
That would be really, really neat.
I just thought, man, what a great use of the Dathomiri magic. But what a weird thing to bring back to life. The Roger droids, but make them truly scary.
Would their programming change from Roger to going brains, brains? You know, because they're zombies.
That's funny. That makes me maybe a little bit funnier than I was thinking, but that is actually really funny.
See, the thing is that this is where I think it's, this is why I had that question earlier where it's, you know, are you going for 8 o'clock, you know, on a Wednesday scary or 10 p.m. on a Saturday scary? Because one of the ideas I think would be really, really neat would be to have Vader haunted by his own, by Anakin, basically. That, like, you get a glimpse inside his head. And I know that they've played with this story in, like, the Darth Vader comic and stuff like that, but a Halloween type of thing where the Anakin that he sees is burned up and disfigured and coming for him. And he just, and so it becomes a story about how Vader, part of his motivation and part of his focus and his drive of never thinking about the past is he feels like he's always being chased by it. And it's the personification is this Anakin's, you know, Vader is chased in a sense in his own mind by an Anakin zombie that can't ever be defeated.
So what you're saying is that Anakin is, or Darth Vader is experiencing a Halloween Carol.
Yes, in a sense, except for the fact that the Anakin coming for him has no interest in reclaiming his soul so much as ending it.
Right, which makes it the Halloween Carol instead of the wonderful Christmas Carol. Sorry, Anakin, if you were having a Christmas Carol, we'd want you back, but that's not this story.
This is a Sithmas Carol.
That's right. There you go. This. Oh, gosh.
Do you think that, what about Palpatine? Ooh, what about a good Palpatine Halloween story? Because he would have to be the one to scare somebody. Like, he can't possibly be scared by what, you know what? Let me put the question to you. What would he be scared by? What would be a Halloween story that would scare Palpatine?
That Darth Bane had come back and wanted to take his place. I mean, that's what all Sith are afraid of, is losing their power. So what if the greatest of the Sith Lords came back to reclaim his throne from, and was basically, that was what haunts him, is that somebody's going to come back and take my spot.
What if, to take that great idea and sort of manipulate it, what if it is even a series of stories where he is haunted by these, you know, ghosts of Sith past, but it's, they change. Some of them have, you know, some of them are like Bane, but then he gets visited every so often by Plagueis. And so you find, you kind of find out that, you know, much like the Anakin pursuing Vader story, part of what motivates Palpatine is if he ever lets his guard down, you know, the dark side itself is looking to take him out. He has to prove to the dark side that he can withstand these things. He has to continually face these demons that never leave him alone.
I like that idea. I think that's really interesting, the thought of what would scare Palpatine, and that, you know, obviously it wouldn't be something macabre or whatever, but it would be just the fear of losing power. And what would be really interesting is how to make that scary in the episode to everybody else too. So yeah, right. That's really fascinating.
Or maybe Palpatine's scariest thing is he just has an image of like this cute little girl eating an ice cream cone in a field full of daisies and he wakes up in a cold sweat. No, it was terrible.
That's the real quick short. That's the real quick short that they do. Yeah. That's what, you know, wakes him up in the middle of the night. That, or what wakes him up in the middle of the night is the girl that we find out the real reason he became a Sith Lord is because he was, you know, turned down by a girl back in the day. And that's what wakes him up in a cold sweat, is remembering the rejection he felt.
I just don't think you're going to amount to anything. And like, that's what drives him.
He's like, I'll show you.
And after he declares, the Republic being reorganized into the Empire and everything, like the first stop as he flies back to Naboo, the house that she's in, and he walks up, and he's like, "Hey, how you doing? Guess what?
How do you like me now?"
Yeah, right. That would be pretty great. That would be pretty great. Oh, man. I think there are a lot of possibilities. So I actually want to turn it around. I want to put it out to our listeners. interact with us. Let us know what sort of Halloween stories you would want to see in a Star Wars Halloween special. I think that there are endless possibilities. I think that this is something they should really legitimately pursue.
I mean, it will be hard to top the best Halloween special of all time, the Charlie Brown. It's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown, but...
Oh, no.
You know.
No, I that came through wrong on my headphones. I'm sure you said Garfield's Halloween special.
I know that you think that's the greatest, but it's not. It's okay. Nobody agrees with you. Everybody agrees with me.
I know it is.
It's fine. But I do want to hear from our listeners, because the ideas that we came up with, I think, were really fun, and I love the way we just kept bouncing off each other. And I'm sure the listeners were thinking to themselves, I'm yelling at my iPhone, but they can't hear us, which means that you should just contact us, maybe like on Twitter, at The Jedi Masters, John.
I think that's a great idea. And as it turns out, they can also contact us via email at an@thenerdparty.com. And that is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
365 days a year.
Along with, if you go to facebook.com/thenerdparty, you can interact with us there. That's where we post shows. We post different news. And you can go ahead and you can interact with us. And, you know, we can get a good conversation going over there, I think.
I would love it. Also, too, you know, when you're listening to the show over there in iTunes, or you're just thinking about aggressive negotiations, hit us up with a star rating and review, too, because it really does help the show grow. It helps more people find us. If you search for Star Wars podcasts, there are a lot of them out there. And so help other people find us by giving us that star rating and review. If you're loving what you're hearing, then please let other people know by doing that. And I just want to say a huge thank you again, as you did at the beginning of the show, John. We just appreciate all the listeners being here with us each and every week. We love doing this for you guys. We love talking about Star Wars. Honestly, John and I would do it anyway. But the fact that other people enjoy it and like what we have to say, thank you so much. Continue to interact with us. Tell us what you think, because we love the listeners we have, and we just want to hear from you guys more.
Yeah, and as always, just so you know, we do have a special discount for listeners. If you go to lootcrate.com/nerdparty and at checkout enter the code nerdparty, you will get a discount on Loot Crate. And what Loot Crate is they send you a box of goodies from different geek properties. They have a different theme every month. So it's a subscription service for really awesome stuff sent right to your door. And once again, go to lootcrate.com/nerdparty, enter the code nerdparty. Boom, you get it sent right to you. And you know, when you do subscribe, go ahead and let us know what you get. You know, if you want to film an unboxing, we'll go ahead and put it up on our Facebook page.
Yeah, John, I love Loot Crate. I love that they help us out here with the show. I appreciate so many listeners. In fact, I have a friend of mine who went to Dragon Con and that I met there. He told me just the other day, he's like, hey, I used the Nerd Party code on my Loot Crate for something my wife wanted. So thank you so much for doing that, guys. We really do appreciate it. And John, before we get out of here, there's a lot of places that you are online, and I think people would like to know where they can interact with you each and every day on the interwebs.
Well, honestly, each and every day, if you just sing out the song of the Crate Dragon, I will respond in kind. It'll be a cacophony of horror. And you can also type in the username Kessel Junkie, Twitter, Instagram, across the board. That's where you're going to find me. You can find me co-hosting Words with Nerds with my pal Craig, where we do zany stuff. You can find me co-hosting Stage 9 with Mike Schindler over on the Trek FM network. And you can go over to, it's in fits and starts, but if you go over to KesselJunkie.com, I write some things now and then. And of course, Matt, you truly are everywhere. You are the internet. Where can people find you?
Wow, I didn't know Al Gore and I had so much in common. You can find me on Twitter at MattRushing02. You can also find me on the Trek FM network doing The Orb with Chris Jones. We talk about Deep Space Nine. I'm also doing Literary Treks with Bruce and Dan, where we talk about the books and the comics of Star Trek. Also get a chance to interview the authors, which is a lot of fun. And of course, you could find me as well on my own personal blog there at 42lifeinbetween.wordpress.com. I do some of the same things that you do, John, just writing reviews of things, talking about things that are important to me. Not quite as prolifically as you do, but I try. So, well, John, I think, gosh, there's only one thing left to say. I think it's time to close negotiations.
Negotiations are closed.
Join the revolution. Join the Nerd Party.